Beloved, let's turn open our swords now to Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. Well, I hope everybody was able to ring in the new year in your own way. Yeah. Brittany and I, we were trying to find on YouTube a live stream, and we kept seeing what was like Spanish people. And I said, this is a Mexican, Spanish, I don't understand it. And I saw Dick Clark's New Year's Eve thing. I said, it ain't the same without old Mr. Clark up there like it used to be. But there's a lot of foreigners and different people up there in that crowded place in New York. But we did see the ball drop. And so it was nice to see a new beginning. You know, that's one thing that we all really like about the new year. A lot of people make resolutions in the new year. And really, the truth is that if you do something for 21 days, whether it's good or whether it's bad, you have, scientists tell us, acquired a new habit. So if you do something for 3 weeks, every single day, you've got a new habit. Well, some people have a habit of not reading their Bible. They've done that for more than 21 days. A lot of people. Some people have a habit of not praying. They don't pray when they eat. They don't pray when they have a nice day. They don't pray when they get up. They don't pray when they go to bed. They don't pray and confess their sin. They just only pray whenever they're in a jam. Not even a toe jam, even. But they're in a jam, and then they start praying. And, you know, sometimes that's here or there or somewhere else. Some people have a habit of not going to church. A lot of folks, easy to get in that habit. I'm going to tell you now. My family and I, we were out of church for years. And when I came back to church in 1996 in December, the only song I pretty much knew was Amazing Grace. That's it. And then about a year and a half later, I was supposed to lead the choir. I didn't know how to read music. Still don't know how to read music. I can see how it flows. So I just make a noise. That's all I do. I'm happy and joyful. I might be singing every note but the right one, but at least I'm trying to make a happy noise for Jesus' sake. So we just have a good time here inside the Lord. But a lot of people, when they make New Year's resolutions, like quit smoking or lose weight or stop drinking or stop drugs or read the Bible through in a year, by the way, if you're doing that, we do have two Bibles over here in the Daily Chronological Bible Reading. And I think there's two sections that I still need to print off. I think it's week 38 and 39. But if you want the commentary, every single week is there, except for the two I've got to print off. But every one of them is over there. You don't have to read the whole commentary unless you want to. But it's there to help you as you read a passage of Scripture to help maybe open your eyes about something that you might not have seen the first time around. But it's there, guys, for you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you made it through in 2019 and reading the Bible through in a year, congratulations. That is some feat that some people that have been saved for 50 years cannot say they've ever read through the Bible cover to cover. Folks, if you've not read through the Bible cover to cover, and you've been saved, you're missing out on the whole kit and caboodle of everything about God's plan. If you want to understand what His plan is for you and what He has in store, then read that book. You want to know about the mind of Christ? Read that book. That's what you need. So, when you make a New Year's resolution, if you do, I know a lot of people don't because they keep it about 3 days and they're done. Think about where resolution comes from. Resolution comes from a root word, resolute. Resolute comes out of even another word, resolve. When you are resolute about something or you resolve to do something, it means you've flipped the switch, you've thrown the gauntlet down, and you are locked in to do something. You have made up your mind. Maybe you made up your mind, you're sick and tired of living paycheck to paycheck and being debt up over your eyeballs. Maybe you've now resolved to get rid of your debts this year. Maybe you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Maybe you're sick and tired of being pulled and your chain being yanked by this, that, or the other of some habit that you know is wrong or ain't right, and you don't like it, and it's just sucking the money out of your life, maybe it's time now that you say, you know, I've resolved that I'm not going to go back that way. The new year is a great way to remind yourself of a new beginning. But see, in God's eyes, this new year is just another day. But it is a day you and I can serve the Lord. What I want you to do in this message tonight, this message is entitled, Get Things Settled. For too many of us, our lives are like an ocean of waves coming here and there. And I'm going to use a fancy word on you. There's a bunch of flotsam floating around. You say, what in the world is a flotsam? Flotsam is if there's been a shipwreck or if maybe a ship's got a leak or something. Everybody's trying to throw everything overboard to lighten the ship and then plug the hole. Flotsam is debris or wreckage or things in the water floating around you. And that's what a lot of people's lives are like. They've made shipwreck of their lives, and they're trying to struggle and hold on to something so they won't sink. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a life preserver, and there's an old ship nearby, that old ship of Zion. Amen. Jesus is the lifeline, and He's throwing out the life preserver. He's the only one that you can lay hold on. I'm going to tell you right now, there ain't no hope and no booze bottle, no beer bottle, no alcohol bottle ever made. There ain't no answer at the bottom of it. Because when you get sober, your troubles are still all around you. You ain't drowned them. They're not dead. They're still there. You know, you think, okay, I'm going to make myself happy and I'm going to buy everything I see that I want. Well, when you get the bill in the mail, that's going to be a headache. You might feel happy when you get your stuff in the mail, but that's not going to make you happy. Might make you happy for a little bit, and then now you got to pay the bill. Folks, let's get things settled today. Today's a good day to get things settled with God. Don't you think? Luke 21, verse 14. Yeah, got your place there. Please say amen. Amen. All right. Well, if you're able, therefore, let's stand together. If you can't stand, stand in your heart. But notice what it says in verse 14. Read it with me, if you will. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. Lord, I ask that You'll hide me behind the cross. Lord, Father, put Your words in my mouth. You'd have me to preach and teach tonight, Lord. And Father, that I'll be obedient to Thee. Father, have Your will in Your way. Work in our hearts and our minds and our lives tonight, Lord, that in this new year of 2020, we will have 2020 vision spiritually, that we will look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Go with us now, Father. Have Your will in Your way be done. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Now, what Jesus is talking about here is He's talking about the end of the world. He's talking about the signs of the time. And what He's talking about specifically in this passage right here in verse 14, He's talking about when you're betrayed by your kinsfolk and you're betrayed by your friends and your family, they're going to deliver you up to the judges. And He says basically what He's talking about, He's saying, don't try to figure out what you're going to say and try to defend yourself, but when you're put on trial. He said, settle it in your mind at this point, because I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to be with your mouth, kind of like I was with Moses, and I'm going to put the words in your mouth that you'll speak at that moment to the judges and to the magistrates and all of that. Now, please understand, well, who He's talking to are Jews that will be alive during the tribulation, to save people who will be alive during the tribulation. Now, don't think for a minute, if you're saved tonight, and then whenever God's trumpet blows, let me try that again. If the trumpet blows, that we're going to be out of here. We're going to be taken out, and then the Antichrist will sign a peace treaty with the nation of Israel for 7 years. That will begin the tribulation. So if you're saved tonight and the trumpet blows, we're out of here. We don't have to worry about that. But what I want to do tonight is I want to take that wording, settle it therefore in your hearts. And I want to apply it now to our lives here on this first day of January, the first day of this year, the first day of a new decade in the year of our Lord, 2020. Wow. Did you ever think you'd live to see 2020? It used to seem so far away. Even when I was a little kid, I thought we'd be seeing flying cars and robots and everything else, but I guess the Jetsons wasn't in our near future. But anyway, let's get things settled. Number one, we need to settle to serve the Lord. That's the first thing we need to do. Now, too many times, we like to turn it around. We like to think in our hearts and minds that the Lord is supposed to serve us. Okay, I got saved, so now I think God's going to give me whatever I want. That ain't the way it works. God is not a genie living up in heaven waiting for you to say, okay, God, I want a new red car. God, I want a Lamborghini. God, I want $5,000. God, I want. See, God is not interested in your wants. He has promised to supply your every need. Now, you may say, and I might even say, that I need this or I need that, but God knows better than you and I put together what our needs really are. We may think we need this or we need that, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You run out of money, you run out of funds, you run out of this, you run out of that, and I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to find out in a hurry, there's a lot of things you can live without that you thought you couldn't live without before, but you can go without. I mean, we live in a land of plenty. We live in America of all places. But I'm going to tell you right now that there's people in this land that have learned to not eat so much. I mean, one of the best ways we can lose weight, and that's on my list. I'd like to drop about 50 pounds. You know. But anyway, I want to live longer. I want to be the best. But you know, you can be the best shape, healthy as an ox, and kill over dead the next day. So just because you eat right, do right, exercise and all this, watch your weight, watch your food, watch what you eat. I watch what I eat every bite I take. I watch what I eat. Yum, 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 yum. Anyway. But, you know, you can watch your calories. That's one thing. Just push back from the table a little bit. I mean, take it this way. The Mormons, they even do fasting themselves. They go without a couple of meals every month just to save money so they can contribute to the relief of the poor and needy. I mean, that's the Mormons. Kind, wonderful people. I don't agree with their doctrine. Joseph Smith, in my understanding, by what I've read and studied, he ain't the prophet of God. He was a bald-faced liar, by what I understand. He was a con artist. He's got a track record in New York for deceiving people. A man thought he was going to dig up gold for him and his dad. And they said, we're going to use a peach stone. And all it was, they had a hat and a rock in it. And they looked on them on the ground with a hat and a rock, and they said, we can see where the gold is. Are you kidding me? Are you joshing me? Are you pulling my leg? But anyway, we'll leave Joe Smith alone. But that's a good thing they do. I think, my opinion personally. But you know, good things don't get you to heaven. Good works don't get you over into the promised land. No work, whether it's our baptism, whether it is going to church, whether it's tithing, whether it's fasting, no matter how good you do, it ain't going to be enough to satisfy God. Ain't that what He says in Matthew chapter 7? They will say, Lord, Lord, we not do all these wonderful works in Thy name. And what are you saying? Depart from me, you cursed, you workers of iniquity. I never knew. I never knew you. Not you didn't do enough. Not you didn't do it right. Not you didn't do it the right path. I never knew you. See, it's all based upon a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, at the end of his life, Joshua, as he's divvying out the land to the children of Israel, after they have conquered the promised land, Joshua says in Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now you have to make that decision in your heart of heart. Now I know, gentlemen, it is one thing for you and I as husbands, as leaders of the family, we are supposed to lead our wives and our children to serve the Lord. But ultimately, every individual person in the family has to decide betwixt them and God that they're really going to serve the Lord. I can't make Brittany serve the Lord, neither can she make me serve the Lord. It has to be a personal decision you make yourself in your heart of hearts that you're going to serve the Lord. That's what we, all of us, have to decide to do. I can guide her in Bible study. I can guide her to church. There's long been a standing rule in my home, regardless of who lived there. Unless you're sick, unless you are unable to come to the house of God, we are going to the church house together. There are times when she has to miss. There are times when, even when Greg lived with me, he had to miss. But as a general rule, you didn't lay out of church and decide you're going to go to Walmart, or you're going to go to town, or you're going to lollygag or somewhere like that. That don't cut it in the Loveless house! It don't work that way. And if God blesses us with children, I don't care how they feel. Little Johnny or little Susie, they're going to come to the house of God. God said, compel them to come. I will compel them with this thing right here. I don't care if DSF knows or not. They want to threaten me. Well, where'd the thing go? They want to threaten me. I got a threat back because by kings I was raised on the belt. I didn't have an elf on the shelf to keep me in line. I had a belt on the back door of Mom and Daddy's bedroom. And it kept this youngin' in line. Mama had green palm olive that she washed my mouth out with soap. And every time I see green palm olive, I taste it, every drop of it. I knew who was boss and I knew who was in charge. I did not rule that home. He did and she did. I knew who was in charge. And you know what? I suffer from something called respect. I suffered from something when I was in high school. They said, hey, Craig, you want to go out to a party? You want to get drunk? I said, nope. And they said, why? You sissy. I said, because if I do that, I go home and I'm drunk as a skunk, my daddy will kill me. And then he'll bring me back to life and he'll kill me again. I said, I ain't going to have that. They said, hey, you want to go smoke? I said, no. I'll just stick my head over a campfire. I think I'll save my money. I said, my mom and daddy smoke. I said, I suffer from smelling the smoke. I don't want it. He said, hey, you want to go do drugs? I said, are you dumb? No, I don't want to lose my mind. I don't want to lose my sense of my facility. And furthermore, if I do that and I go home, my daddy will kill me. I had a healthy fear. I'm not scared of my daddy. Don't misunderstand me. I respect my dad, and I respected him when I was young and living at home. Because there were ground rules in that home. You don't bring this home. You don't do that. You don't show up this way. Because that's his rules and that's the way he governed his home. And I grew to respect that because I was disciplined. I suffered from a drug problem. I was drugged to church when I was little. And I'm glad I was. I owe everything in my being to who and what I am today. To Tommy and Susan Loveless. And my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You want to save America? You want to save your family? Get them to the house of God and get them to serve God. Not serve drugs, not serve beer, not serve cigarettes, not serve even a boss man. You want to serve somebody? Serve not yourself. Serve Jesus, the Christ, and it'll be the best payday you'll ever have. I'm telling you, folks, there's people out there that think, they think happiness will come from this, joy will come from that. If I just get more money, I'll be, let me tell you, you want to get your best joy and the best high and the best feeling in the entire world? Just serve Jesus. Serve Jesus. It's a retirement plan that'll beat everybody hands down. Wow. But you got to settle it in your heart. You know why? Because Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You know, that's why you can't love two people at the same time. He said, you'll love the one and hate the other. You can't do it. I had to make sure in my heart when I met Brittany that I was over my first wife before I could move on. Because if I still had attachments back there, what would that be? That would be unfair to her, would it not? Hanging on to the past? I'm not going that way. I'm going forward into the future. You see? You can't love two at the same time. You can't love this and serve this and say, oh, how I love Jesus and serve Jesus. You can't do it. You can serve one person at one time. One God at one time. So whoever claims your affection, you want to know how to check up and see where your heart is? Listen to what you talk about all the time, all day long. If it ain't Jesus, you're serving another God. And if you're serving another God, then you need to kill that idol. Don't you? I've had an idol named the Confederacy. I've had an idol named the Civil War. I've had an idol, George Wallace. I've had idols, Quentin Loveless. And I've had to knock them all down and choose myself who I was going to serve. Because if I serve myself, if I serve that, and I don't God, then what does that mean? I love this, I love that, I love this, I love self, and I hate God. That's the words of Christ. So let's settle it today. Today, I resolve, I settle in my heart and my mind that I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. And you know what? Let me tell you something. When you settle that, Satan's going to rear back and hit you with everything he's got. You smokers, ex-smokers, you know what I'm talking about. When you say, I'm going to lay it down, it'll hit you. The craving, the desire, it'll come back. It'll knock you in the next week. And you know what? You got to show them who's boss. You got to say, no, not today, devil. Get thee hence, Satan, not today. Drug addicts who have recovered, it hits you. It started chasing you to drag you back down. But it's not worth it. You recovered alcoholics, you remember how it was. The good taste of that alcohol, that beer, you craved it, you loved it. But then guess what? Here it reared back, whammo, and tried to knock you back down. You said, not today. I'm not slamming into that telephone pole again. Not today. I'm not going to beat my wife. Not today. I'm not going to lose my sanity and dance on a table like a moron. But you see, when you resolve to do those things, Satan will rear back and hit you as hard as he can. And now you're going to come face to face with the man or woman in the mirror. You're either going to give up and be a quitter, or you're going to lay hold of the nail-scarred hand and say, Lord, this world is not my home. This world and its pleasures of sin for a season is not worth my testimony and my life for you. So it all comes down not to your sin, not to your addiction, not to the things that have pulled you down, not to your idol. It goes back to self. They might put no gun in your hand and say, all right, do it or die. It's a switch, isn't it? It's easy as this right here. Yes, no. Yes, no. Have you seen the light yet? Or you want to go crawl back in darkness like a cockroach and serve sin for another season? Oh, it might feel good for a little while, but let me tell you something. The buzz will fly away. The high will wear off. The thing that you wanted flapped and flew away, and now you're met with the sting and taste of defeat. Let me tell you something. If you are defeated, the sun will rise in the morning, dust your knees off, and get up! Lay hold of the nail-scarred hand and say, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. I'm not worthy to be called your child. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to throw his arms around you and say, child, I love you. I know what you've struggled through. I went through the temptation, but I conquered it. You know how? By the word of the living God. All you got to do is just turn and follow Him. Turn and look to Him, and He will give you the victory. But no, it won't be easy. But you can do it. You know why? There's people in this world, in this community, in this church, that have conquered porn, they've conquered drugs, they've conquered beer, they've conquered booze, they've conquered pills, they've conquered weed, they've conquered all number of things. They've conquered prostitution. Let me tell you something. The children of God have a path that has been blasted into oblivion by the blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. You are not what you once were yesterday. You're not that in the eyes of God. You are a child of the King. Don't go back into the slavery that you put the shackles back on yourself. You and I live for victory in Jesus. But you got to settle it tonight. Who you going to serve? You can do it. There's people tonight that have conquered cigarettes. There's people tonight that have conquered materialism. Don't say it can't be done. Why? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. With God, all things are possible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Number two, settle to see the Lord. In Joel chapter 3, verse 14, multitude, multitude in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Do you know Jesus is coming soon? Jesus is coming soon, filling hearts with doom. Freedom we all hold near, thou is near, thou is at stake. Humbling your heart to God, safe from the chastening rod. Something we've tried Christians away. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound, all of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Amen. He's coming. This may be the year. Tomorrow, tonight may be the time when He splits the sky and He comes to take His own home. He's coming again. Have you settled to see the sun? Or maybe you're hoping He won't come for a few more years. Maybe you're like Pharaoh, you want another night with the frogs. Lord, I don't want you to come yet. I want one more night with my sin. I want one more night to get three sheets in the wind. Lord, I want one more night to shoot it up. Lord, I want one more night to paint the town red. Are you nuts? You're a child of God. You're a child of the King. You know what? I remember as a child, even at times as a young man, I could hear my daddy, 65 Chevrolet truck, coming down Walker Lake Road. And I would bust out of those doors and I would run out to meet my daddy. My daddy had come home. I was excited to see daddy come home. Now sometimes as I grew older, daddy would have chores for me to do and I wasn't as excited. But I knew when daddy came home, it was happy. Daddy was home. When mama came home, I was happy. Mama come home. That's the way we need to be with anticipation. Waiting for the trumpet to sound, waiting to hear Him say, come up hither! Then you know what? No more sorrow, no more pain. No more pain! Can you imagine? Some of you tonight, you can't even move without feeling pain in your body. One day, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more struggle, there'll be no more sin, there'll be no more sorrow. The former things will pass away. We are going home one day. Settle it in your mind. Today might be the day when the sun comes. Are you ready to see Him? Or do you dread His coming? Think about it. Number three, settle to be near the Lord. James 4:8, draw nigh. Nigh means near to God. And He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. That's what you got to do. Do you want to be near the Lord? I do. If you want to be near Him, what does He say? He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Are you hearing His voice? Are you following Him? You know, one of the easiest ways you follow Him is right here in this Word. Right here, right there in that blessed book. Old King James Bible. Wow. But see, that goes back to the thing, to the understanding. You can't serve yourself and serve God at the same time. You have to settle in your heart that you are going to serve the Lord. You've got to settle in your heart. You want to see the Lord. I mean, if you're doing wrong, if you're sinning, you don't want to see the Lord. You know what? That's why a lot of people don't go to church. They don't want to see the Lord on all of our faces. I remember a friend of ours would only come around when that friend was living right for God. But when they got out away from the Lord and they got into sin, couldn't see Him. Didn't see them for 6 months. They wouldn't be around. And so then, when they got right with God, they popped back inside the picture. I said, why don't they come around? I knew why. All you got to do is read Facebook. And you know why. They told on themselves. They were doing wrong things. They didn't want to be around anybody living for the Lord, because then they'd see Jesus all over their face and all over your life. You see, that's why some people don't want to be around you, because you're living for God. Amen. You're living for the Lord. And they don't want to see you, because when they see you, all they see and all they hear is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know what? That's fine. If you don't want to hear about Jesus, then don't hang around me. I don't have time for anybody that wants to drag me or you or my wife down into the pit of sin. I'm done with that. I don't want to go there. I want to press on to serve my Savior, to see my Lord, and be near my Lord. Because we don't have a lot of time in this life. We've only got one life to live. And you know what? We're all of us are going to stand before the Lord. And we want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." I got news for you. I'm afraid the heap a lot of us, myself included, may well hear, "Child, child, what did you do with all those years I give you? All I wanted you to do was this, this, and that. But look at you, what you did. You couldn't even be faithful in that one little thing that I wanted you to do. But enter into the joy of your Lord. Because at least Jesus was faithful when you were unfaithful, child. Don't feel sad. It's all forgiven under the blood. But I wanted more out of your life." See, you can hide it from me, you can hide it from each other, but you can't hide it from the reckoning day. Did you ever have evaluations at work? I did. And you know what? Every evaluation I got praise and I got raises. I got promoted. Every time. You know why? Because I was taught. Daddy said, "When you go to work, do your work." That's what he taught me to do. He showed me by example. Remember, every one of us is going to stand before God, and we're all going to give an account. I'm going to give double account on how I lead my life, my family, and how I lead this church. And that's why I cry, I grieve, I beg, I plead, I wrestle with God over this church. Because I'm going to give an account for this church. This is not a game. This is not part of my life. This is my life. This is my calling. And when I fail God, it doesn't reflect on you. It reflects on me and what I didn't do. You're going to answer for what you do and don't do, just like I am. So let's settle being near the Lord. The nearer we are, the better we hear, the better we serve Him. If you're like me and you got peanut butter in your ear and you can't hear worth a hoot, I think I'd be near the Lord as much as I can. Because if He says, "Hey, do this over here," then I'll say, "Okay." But if I'm way back over there and He says, "Hey, do this," huh? I don't want to be like that. I want to be so close. Nobody or nothing will get betwixt us. Number four, final point. Settle to ask faithfully of the Lord. What do you mean, preacher? My alarm clocks are fixing to go off, so I wanted to make sure I look over here at this thing. So, settle to be, there it is. Settle to be faithful to the Lord, right? Look inside your Bible. Turn to James chapter 1. I want you to look at this. This is important. Very important. Every one of us in here needs to look at this. Because this may be the whole reason why your life ain't working right. James chapter 1. James is toward the end of the Bible. It's all right. Use the index if you need to. It's all right. So, "Well, you think less of me." No, I won't. You know why? Because I've had to use the index I don't know how many, 1,800 times. to find out where books of the Bible are. You want to try to find them little minor prophets? If you turn fast, Brian, you know this as well as I do. You turn too fast, you're going to skip them. Because one of some of them is about one page long. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. God's a liberal. In that way. But look, and upbraideth not. God ain't going to wreck you over the coals for asking Him for wisdom. He ain't going to do that. And it shall, listen, and it shall be given Him. You want more wisdom from God? Just ask Him. That's all He wants you to do. Ask. What Jesus say? Ask and what? You shall receive. Not you might receive. He says, and it shall be given Him. But, now watch. But let him ask in faith. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. There it is. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Then what happened? For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen. Did you just see that? He said, if you ask and you don't ask in faith, nothing wavering. He said, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything, anything of the Lord. So here's what I mean. You have something wrong. And you say, Lord, I have something wrong. I need you to help me with this. And then in the back of your mind, what you're really saying, but I know God ain't going to help me with it. But what you're saying is, Lord, please help me with this. But in the back of your mind, you're already doubting. And you know what? God says, you're not going to get it. You got to have faith. Faith. Can you help me? Please. All right, I don't know where Greg is. I'm not watching. Now. So. Mama didn't put eyes in the back of my head. So. Just hold me. Now. Now watch. I know he's somewhere back there. I don't know where he is. I want to show you about faith. Now, see, I don't know about God. I don't know about where he's at, what he's doing. But I know if I ask, he said, he'll hear. If I ask and I believe, I'll receive. Now, that ain't mean the word of faith. But so, that's all we got to do. You see? That's it. Thank you. I did that with my wife the other day at the house. Because a young person was there. And I said, do you know what faith is? He said, I think. I said, let me show you what faith is. And I don't know where Brittany was. And I said, now see, I'm going to lean back and I'm going to wait on her to catch me. And she caught me. So see, that's it. You don't know how God's going to do it, but you throw that request out there and you trust God's going to catch it. That's all you got to do, God. But see, what we do is we say, oh, the temptation's too strong. I know I'm going to do this. I know I'm going to. You know why? You know why? Because you've already decided to do it. Right. Huh? You didn't give back to God. You held on to it. That's just like half of us. What do we do? We say, oh, God, I'm going to come out of here. I'm going to pay my tithe. But then we say, oh no, God, I don't think I'm going to do that. God, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that, but we hang on to that thing right there. There are many preachers, and I agree with them, that say, you give me a man's checkbook, I'll show you where his heart is, and I'll show you how much he trusts God. Because there's too many of us, we will not let go of that almighty dollar because we say, I need it. You know what you need? You need more faith in God. God ain't asking for 50% of your income. He's asking for 10% of your increase in the week. I'm going to tell you something right now. The times I have not tithed are the times I suffered anguish, weeping, gnashing of teeth. Amen. And when I'm faithful with my tithe, I ain't giving it to give it back. Uh-uh. I'm giving it because I'm joyfully giving to God. Amen. And you know what? You can't outgive God. Amen. God will take care of you. And here's another thing. Are there things you really, really want in life? Well, let me tell you something. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. But you got to delight yourself in God. Hey, it's church time. Yeah, going to go sit there for an hour and a half while he is up there preaching, and he doesn't know how I hurt and how I feel and how tired I am. Ho, 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 ho. Church time. Yippee. Let's go to the house of God. I'm not reenacting Cam Newton. I done been there. I ain't gonna touch that with a 10-foot pole. But see, I said, you gotta ask faithfully of the Lord. Are you praying for somebody going through a struggle, through a trial? Are you praying for a lost one? Then ask God faithfully. Believe that He can change that heart. So I want you to join with me in a prayer. And believe. I am praying and begging and asking God to grow this church this year. 15. God, I want to see 30 in the house of God by either July or the end of the year, faithfully in the house of God, serving you, in attendance, paying their tithe, growing in Christ, witnessing, seeing souls saved. Oh, preacher, that ain't going to happen here. You know how hard you preach. You know that Bible with you. You know them old hymns with you. He can do it. Amen. So join with me in praying. Pray and ask faithfully. We've had it here before. Yes, we have. And you know what? We've seen 20 kids, 20 young people at times, Reagan and Riley's age, and older and younger. You know what? We didn't have one drum up here. We didn't have one youth pastor swallowing goldfish either. We didn't even have a three-legged dog on a unicycle juggling and barking Amazing Grace. That's right. All we had were people that loved people and people that loved God and the old book and the old hymn. That's what we got. If that don't turn you on, then there's the doors. That's all we got. God, the Word, the Book, the Blood, the Hymn, and each other. If we can't get through on that, God help us. So let's settle some things tonight. Settle to serve the Lord. Settle to see the Lord. Settle to be near the Lord. David, come on up. Settle to ask faithfully of the Lord. You want victory in your life? Then ask Him faithfully. God, I'm struggling with this. I know You can help me if I do it in Your strength. Lord, I'm giving it to You tonight. Help me. Help me, Lord. Ask Him. And He will give you the desires of your heart if you'll delight yourself in Him. But see, here's the thing. I like collecting Wallace political items. So here's the thing. What am I going to get more excited about? I'm batting. Or, the Word of God and the things of God. What lights you up? What makes your day? What makes you happy? The things of this world or the things of this Word? If it's the world, I'd plug into the altar tonight. If it's the Word, I'd still plug into the altar tonight. Because I tell you, slew foot, He'll be all over you. He will. And don't you think just because you got over this trial today, you're all right, huh? You got over the trial today, guess what? The trial will be there tomorrow. It'll be there the next day. And then you went old Slewfoot might even do, he might throw two trials on one day. Well, if I knew that was coming, and I do know it's coming, I think I'd be awfully near to God. Near as I could be. Let me tell you something. My heart gets so heavy at times. There are times I wake up at 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning praying, begging God, burdens, your burden, my wife's burden. And sometimes I get so overwhelmed in my heart and my life. Sometimes I just got to turn to my wife and I said, hold me, please. And as much as that blesses my heart and soothes me, there are even more times I have to turn to God and I have to tell Him, Lord, I can't bear this myself. Hold me, Daddy. Hold me, Father, in your righteous everlasting arms. Because without you, I can't do it. I cannot bear it alone. Amen. It's getting darker out here, guys. It's getting harder. In the next 10 to 20 years, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Reagan and Riley's generation, they are not them. Not them, but their generation, Rahab's generation. They're becoming the unchurched generation. The children that don't go to church, don't care about church. Not these three. I'm not saying them. I'm saying the people their age. 10 to 20 years, if it's this small, it could be smaller. We can grow. And then we can shrink. We can grow and shrink. But I'll tell you now, as long as God sees fit for this church to exist, He will make sure it lasts. Satan will not be able to shut the doors. But if we honor God, He will honor His Word. We are doing something here that Satan hates so much. And that is why I need your prayers, and Brittany needs your prayers, and this church needs your prayers, now more than ever. Because Satan is trying to shut all the Bible-believing, preaching, teaching, reaching churches down across the land. He wants there to be such a famine throughout the land of the Word of God. But as every breath in me, every fiber in my body, I am not going to be quiet. I am not going to stop working and doing in my hands and the things that I can do to give my tithe. I am not going to stop studying the Word. I'm not going to stop preaching the Word. I'm not going to stop teaching the Word. I'm not going to stop, even if I have to do what I have to do. I'm going to make sure as I can, as I give it to God, as long as He strengthens me, I'll do my part. Settle it in your mind to do the same. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there'll be times when you'll be tempted to throw in the towel. David and I went to the nursing home. And that very morning, I called Brittany and I said, you know, there sometimes I wonder how many of these poor people out here, whether they get anything or not, I don't know. And all it is the hiss of Satan saying, you know, why bother? Why bother? Right, David?
That's right.
And then I go in and I hear Brother David play. I get up and I do my little devotional. And he gets up and plays the hymns of the faith. And then one woman, she says, I really got something out of that message this morning. And then the owner comes by and gives me a little gift card. And then I hear God whipping my heart saying, now see, it's worth it, isn't it, Chun? Even if you just reach one, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Go look at some of the missionaries. Hudson Taylor, I think he was, in India or China, Lord forgive me. He preached and preached and preached and preached and preached and preached to hundreds of thousands of people for 7 or 8 years and didn't see one person saved. And then one person got saved and then the floodgates opened. And today there are Christians in that land because that man did not give up. He kept praying faithfully. He kept asking faithfully, God, send the word out and give the increase. If we do our part and settle it in our hearts and minds, now, God will do what He'll do. We need to do what we got to do. David's going to play. And as he plays, if God's dealing with you tonight about something, you don't have to tell me a thing. But if God's dealing with you tonight,